You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, as with any political cesspool broadcast, we've had a good time tonight. We've talked about the hard topics in a very unique way. We had a great guest tonight, Richard Spencer. Great guests all month. Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald, Henrik Palmgren, Lon Lochte, Richard Spencer. That's just the last 3 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to slow it down now. You know how you go to a rock concert, you get a couple of those hard rock songs, and you got to slow it down with a ballad. Well, we got to slow it down here for a very personal reason. It's hard
right.
to slow things down when the bombardier's in the co-hosting seat. But in all seriousness, this is the actual day, 4 years to the day, February 25th, 2013. Bill Rowland was called home by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 4 years ago today. Here's what I wrote on that fateful day. I was in my office when I received the call from Bill's wife, and I dropped everything that I was doing and immediately wrote an article that we posted to our website. And then we prepared for a show the following Saturday that was a three-hour memorial of Bill that featured some great Christian music. And
Bill was hardcore Christian.
Sure he was. And here's what I shared. And a hardcore Confederate. As many of our listeners already know, Political Cesspool co-host Bill Rowland had been valiantly battling cancer for 2 years. That fight came to an end this morning. Bill is now in heaven. Again, this is what I wrote on February 25th, 2013. The loss is absolutely devastating to me. In addition to being one of my very best friends in life, Bill was largely responsible for the development and cultivation of the Political Cesspool from its very inception. Everyone who follows our show knows that Bill co-hosted with me on a regular basis, but he was always my right-hand man behind the scenes. I talked to him at length every week for nearly 10 years and rarely made a decision without seeking his counsel. Whatever value I may have as a leader is due in large part to Bill Rowland's wisdom, his impact on me personally, and the radio program specifically over the course of the past decade cannot be overstated. Again, this is what I wrote on the morning of February 25th, 2013, 4 years ago today. In addition to his value as a compatriot and mentor, he was an incredible role model. Those of you who did not know him as I did were robbed of a tremendous blessing. Those who knew him well can understand what I'm saying. Here barely scratches the surface of his true value as a man. He represented the very best of what anyone could aspire to be. He cannot be replaced as a leader or as a husband or as a father. That would be taken from us at 54 years of age is a loss from which this show will not recover. But rather than lament his passing, I thank God for the time that he allowed Bill Rowland to be part of our lives. That being said, I will miss my friend more than you can know. Bill and I shared many mutual friendships, one of which was that of Sam Dixon, who had this to write. Sam Dixon wrote this: Bill was one of the bravest men I have ever known, truly noble, sound, intelligent, tactful, polite, and brave. He was one of the rare few who had something to lose, but were still willing to step up to the plate for our people, as well as even one of the even rarer and fewer who have done so while being an all-American family man with a lovely wife and two young children. Bill soldiered on despite cancer, working at both his job and on the radio with James Edwards. All of you might consider sending his family a note recognizing his brave devotion shown through decades of hard, dull, day-in, day-out work for the resurrection of our triumph and kin. Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace according to your word. And I concluded the entry with this: rest in peace, dear friend. Thank you for the incredible impact you've made on my life and the legacy you're leaving behind. I'll never forget you, and the things will never be the same again without you here. We'll meet one day again in the kingdom of heaven. That's what I wrote 4 years ago today, Eddie.
I tell you what, that's one heck of a piece, and every bit of it's true. You know,
just wait until you see what I write about you.
No, yeah, no, I'll tell you what, I'll be dead before I hear that. You know, James knew Bill before I did, and everything James said about Bill is true. We're not trying to, you know, build him up just because he's dead.
And a lot of people will do that.
Yes, they will.
And we don't do that here.
And you know what? I think the people that know me, I'm probably the least intellectual of the bunch, but I don't blow smoke. You know, when I tell somebody, when I say they're good, they're good. When I say they're bad, they're bad. But James knew him before I did. I remember one of the first times I saw Bill was at James's wedding. I hit off the bat with him. Right off the bat, we hit it off the bat.
And that was May 5th, 2006, right after we went on the air, just a few months. Yeah. Well, I guess it was about a year and a half after we went on the air. But you were not yet a co-host yet while Bill was.
That's right. And, you know, me and Bill, we hosted the program together a few times when James was out. And it was a lot more leisurely, though, in those days, a lot more formal.
We had a lot more fun when nobody was listening.
a lot less formal, excuse me. Yeah, you know, we didn't have to worry about the FCC so much. It was wild and woody in those days, but me and Bill would go out there with no script, nothing, and we just take off like a
back in those days, of course, we were on the air 5 days a week. We were doing a Monday through Friday show. We revamped that in 2008. But back then, yes, I was off a little bit more than I am now. Of course, now I hardly ever miss. It's a once a week. It's a weekly. But back when we were daily, I wouldn't miss a lot, but I might miss once or twice a month out of 20 shows, and a lot of times you and Bill would fill in on those nights, and it was great.
You know, Thomas Wolfe, a great poet, I think from North Carolina, once talked about a people of quiet desperation. Well, Sam Dixon sets up in there to kind of remind me of Wolfe and Bill. He was a man of what I would call quiet courage. He wasn't bombastic like me. You know, he didn't jump around and flop around and lose his temper like I did, like I do sometimes. Once in a blue moon, I lose my temper. But Bill was... he's had the courage of a lion, but he was always a gentleman about it. He never got out of line. I remember James knows one of the virtues I value most in life in men is courage, great courage. And I don't have a lot of use for people, no matter how good they are, no matter how intellectual they are, no matter how rich they are. If he's a man and he has no courage, I just can't respect him. Maybe it's a fault of mine. But, Bill, I remember one incident. We were at the CFCC meeting, I believe it was, over in the Quad City in Alabama. And the hotel that Bill and some of the people from the CFCC were staying in, I was staying down the road.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I wasn't there now, because me and Bill probably would both still be in – well, Bill wouldn't be in jail, but I probably still would be. But there was a group of citizens, dark-skinned citizens came over. They heard we had that conference going on. And they
came up. Well, look, it was a group of thugs, and they came to accost the law-abiding and peaceful members of the Council of Conservative Citizens. And Bill broke that up single-handedly without a punch thrown or a harsh word said. Well, and he did it. He stepped up when no one else did, and he made those people leave just by his presence.
He was a lion, and he didn't get out of trouble. But I tell you what, they knew right then and there that
if they took one step further, there would be a problem.
That there would have been a big-time problem. And, you know, Bill was saying that it's too bad I was staying at the other hotel. But in retrospect, you know, God knew what he was doing, keeping me and Bill separated, not there, because things would have probably got out of hand. You know, but he had such great courage. And, you know, another thing I like to say about Bill, he knew more about the South than about anybody I know.
He was a Confederate. He was a Christian. He was a husband. He was a father. He was a hard worker. He was a friend. And I'll tell you another thing.
He was of the old Ole Miss. You know what's going on in Ole Miss now? Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no. I'm just saying he was everything. I think I said it when I wrote it 4 years ago on the day of his death. He was everything a man could aspire to be. I remember the first time. I'll share this story when we come back, and I've shared it before, but Bill Rowland single-handedly saved this show in the spring of 2006 because he advised me on a decision, and had I gone the opposite way, the show would have been
over. I remember that
decision. And Bill Rowland, alone was the one who prompted me to make the right decision.
I remember that.
And the rest is history, and we'll tell you what that decision was. But I will tell you this, without Bill Rowland, we would have been off the air in 2006.
You've been another cook.
We'll be back.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
That's the truth, Eddie. I tell you what. Let me tell you something. Only the good die young. Bill Rowland was 54 years old when he went to meet his Savior. And when he passed away, of course, we were all close friends with his entire family. So we knew his daughter. We knew his son. We knew his wife. And when he passed away at 54 years of age, 4 years ago today, his daughter was in high school. His son was in junior high. I mean, just it's unconscionable. That happened.
Pure class.
Absolutely. All the way through. They were Christians. They were Southerners. And we were talking about this during the break. When Bill walked into the room, you recognized his presence, and you knew that he
pure
was operating
quality.
With authority. Now, he didn't have to puff himself up like a lot of these fake tough guys do. He wasn't braggadocious. But you knew he spoke with authority, and that he operated with he was soft as a dove and as potent as a serpent if he had to be.
Yes, he was.
And I'll tell you what,
he was a man of courage.
He was. No, all the way through. And he raised his family that way. And what I was going to share with you before the break, and we've shared this story before, and I want you to comment on this.
All right, go
very quick.
Hey, speaking of courage, this is the kind of courage this man has, and I'm going to just mention this. I want James to take off on it. I think that'd be the order to go. One of the first times I noticed Bill Rowland, what a courageous man he was. Bill Rowland, along with James and just a handful of other white Southerners, you know, Southern-minded people, went down to, I'll always call it Nathan Bedford Forest Park. They call it some other kind of crap now. They were down there to try to save the park. This race pimp, Al Sharpton, was in town trying to organize, you know, a party to destroy the park. And they're still doing it. But I'll tell you what, James Edwards and Bill Rowland single-handedly stopped Al Sharpton.
Well, I like everything that happens with this show, whether it's deserved or not, I get the credit for it. But entire credit in that
incident, Bill Rowland was right there,
was
buddy.
Due to Bill. He said, listen, here's what we got to do, because none of the SCV camps were coming to the aid of General Forrest when race pimp Al Sharpton was there doing his circus at the park. We kept waiting because we were going to fall in line and try to use our influence on the radio to drive out a crowd to support whatever group was going to oppose Sharpton and his efforts to rename Nathan Bedford Forrest Park, where Forrest is buried here in Memphis with his wife. No one stepped up. So Bill said, James, we're going to have to do it ourselves. Now, you got to remember, this was the first year we were on the air. We hardly had the audience that we do now or the name recognition that we do now. But he said, here's what you need to do. And he laid out the case. He said, we're not going to call it a rally or a counter demonstration. We're going to call it a vigil for the general. And we're going to get a permit at this location. It was called Confederate Park then, which was a couple of blocks away from Forest Park in downtown Memphis. And through Bill's leadership, I basically just implemented his plan of action. And we got equal press, and we stopped a march of Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton actually canceled his march because of what we were able to do, because we drew a bigger crowd than he did. He canceled the march. He still appeared in Memphis and did a press conference, but it wasn't the event that it was going to be. That was all because of Bill Rowland. And what I was going to share with you before the break was, in 2006, this was our first rodeo in the spring of it was the spring of 05.
Well, let me take detail. That back.
The spring of 05 was our first time to get added to the hate group. So this was just about 6 months after we had first gone on the air. Spring of 05, we go on the air in October of 04. In spring of 05, we're official haters, and that made national news at the time. Now, today, that's nothing. If we don't make national news in any given month, I wonder what's going on. But your first time to experience something like that, let me tell you something.
Pretty
if
heady.
You've never experienced it before, it's a white-knuckle experience because you don't know what's coming. It's easy to say how you would respond when it's someone else doing it, but when it's actually you, especially that first time, let me tell you something, it's a learning experience. And I can remember NBC and all of these other outlets in the spring of 05 calling me, wanting a comment on me being labeled a hate group and a Nazi and a white supremacist and all of this other stuff. And like I said in just a moment ago, I called Bill. From day one of this show all the way through the day he died, if it was something of substance, I called Bill for his opinion. And I said, Bill, you know, listen, this is just too much. This is just too much. It's the national media coming down on me. I've never experienced anything like this. I'm just going to say, you know, listen, I'm sorry if there was a misunderstanding, you know.
Bill said, I tell you what Bill said. He said that, no, they're going to, if you do that, they're going to smell blood in the water, son, and you're going to be history. I'd like to point out one more thing.
Well, and I'll just say this, and I want you to point that point out, Eddie. I mean, that is your knee-jerk reaction if you've never been through it before. Obviously, it's not the right response. I was 24 years old.
And Bill was older and wiser.
It was my first rodeo. He was older and wiser, and so I sought the counsel of my elder. He said, listen, James, I love you. You've already done a lot with this show. It's your show. You do what you want to do, and I'll back your play. But if you do that, you're going to lose the audience. And he said, and here's why. And he explained it to me. Now, I didn't do what Bill told me to do because Bill told me to do it. I did what Bill suggested because what he said made sense. Yeah. And I held on tight, and I said, and you know what I ended up saying? I went on NBC that night, and I said, you know what? We're on the hate group list, and I couldn't be more ecstatic. I said, you haven't arrived as a conservative leader unless you're on the hate group list. I'm happy to be there, and God willing, we'll be there for as long as I'm on the radio. And to this day, of course, we're still on there. And that's what I think gives us so much authority. Now, that was my first time. Since then, I mean, that's nothing now. That's just another day. But that first time at that age in my life, I thought that was reserved for legitimate thugs. But now I know that they call everyone that. It was just our first time. It was our first experience. Anyway, so now that's nothing. But had it not been for Bill and him giving me that good advice that I ended up taking, certainly the show would have been derailed, as it should have been. But I think that's what gives us the authority to criticize these cucks, is because they haven't gone through anything that we haven't gone through 1,000 times over. I went through that at 24 years old. 24 years old. And weathered through it. So there's no reason these 60-year-old career politicians can't walk through a little fire. And, of course, now it's just another day at the office. But anyway, go on, Eddie.
You know,
but Bill Rowland saved the show that day.
That's right. Biblically speaking, going back to the biblically speaking, I care. Bill was the root in James and the rest of the political cesspool was kind of the vine. And, you know, the vine will wither without the root. Speaking, biblically speaking, I'm sure you Christians will know what I'm talking about. You know, another thing that was took a great amount of courage, we've probably pointed this fact out before, that, and I'll, like I say, I'll still call it Nathan Bedford Forest Park, Nathan Bedford Park. It's right in the middle of some of the roughest part of Memphis. It's real rough. There's a, it's pretty much, you know, 80-90% black neighborhood. There's a lot of crime. Some of the most intense crime that occurs in Memphis would be if you put a thumbtack in the map right where General Forrest is buried, probably I'd say at least half the crime in Memphis, and there's a lot, occurs within a half-mile radius of that place. You know, it's just really dangerous down there. I know I graduated from nursing school late, and I used to have to go down to the University of Tennessee Library. That's back before we had a lot of computers and stuff. But and it butts up against where General Forrest is buried. It was really, really rough. I carried some things in that library I probably shouldn't have carried, but it was for my own safety. But anyway, yeah, they took a – and I was
He's talking about
impressed.
His Bible, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right,
as always.
My Bible. But, you know, I thought, man, that takes a lot of courage. Imagine going to the heart of Detroit. The people live in Detroit. The people live in Chicago. They're listening to this story. And seeing a couple of guys, just a handful of guys, like Bill and James, right in the middle of that, in a predominantly black neighborhood, and having a vigil for a white Confederate general. That's what we're talking about.
That's
that
what we
guts.
Did since day one, by God. We did it since day one.
We still do it.
And listen, I'm not saying I would have made the wrong decision had it not been for Bill, but I'm telling you, I was on the fence. I didn't know what to do because it was my first time. But thank God he put men in my life like Bill Rowland. And the rest is history. Now the political cesspool is a household name in a lot of circles.
We'll y'all have chills yet? I do.
Right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The release of a video showing an off-duty Los Angeles police officer firing a gun during a confrontation with a group of teenagers led to riots in Anaheim in which dozens were arrested, reports the Los Angeles Times. No injuries occurred during the incident, but the viral video clip, which was widely disseminated through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, sparked a flurry of phone calls and emails to the Anaheim police, who are investigating the officer's actions, the Times observes. The confrontation on February 21st arose from what the Anaheim PD claims was an ongoing controversy between the officer and a group of juveniles who walk across his property without permission. After the off-duty officer cursed at a girl, one of her male companions rebuked his language. The officer responded by seizing the teenager, which constitutes a physical assault. He then swore at another male teenager as the first pleaded to be let go. Another teen rushed at the officer, shoving him over a row of bushes. A punch was thrown, and the officer reached into the waistband of his jeans for a gun. Seconds later, a gunshot is heard. Two teens were arrested, a 13-year-old on suspicion of battery and making criminal threats, and a 15-year-old on suspicion of assault and battery. The officer was not charged, nor has his name been released to the public. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen. Do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. .us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Jim, this is Bill Rowland, and you are on the political cesspool. I guess you know that. We met today very briefly. I had my picture made with you. But you're on the show now, and I've just given you a brief intro. But while you were here, I guess I should have said welcome to Memphis. I'm afraid that welcome didn't last very long.
We are now in Nashville.
Oh, well, great. So the caravan continues.
We're still in the home country.
All right. My goodness, to hear his voice, to hear his voice. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have become new Political Cesspool listeners over the course of the last 4 years, the name Bill Rowland won't mean as much to you as it should, but for those of you who have been with us for a long, long time, even some of you who go back to the first year we were on the air and we get emails from you, people who have listened to us since way back in the fall of 04, Bill Rowland's mark on this show will never be forgotten. And the great thing is our broadcast archives bring Bill to life anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You go to our broadcast archives from 2004, 2005 through 2013 when Bill passed away, and he is still there. And my goodness, that was actually an interview that he conducted with Jim Gilchrist of the Minuteman Project. You know, this is another thing that people forget. There's so many hits the political cesspools had. When the Minuteman Project first went on the offensive, when they were first down there, the only people giving them play was the political cesspool. This was before Fox News got on there, before Jim Gilchrist was a household name. Jim Gilchrist still listens to this show. We were having them on the air. We were having Jim Gilchrist. We were having Joe McCutcheon and Michael Gaddy live. They would call in. This was back when we were Monday through Friday. They would call in live on the border, and they would report in live on the radio what they were observing on the border as they were on the Minuteman patrols. And then Babe Buchanan got on board with it, and she came on the show, Pat's sister, and she was talking about it. And then it kind of caught fire, and, of course, the Minuteman Project became a household name. But we were doing it 2 weeks before Hannity and anybody else got on board with that, and that was Bill Rowland interviewing Jim Gilchrist. Bill Rowland was always the guy. If I was ever out for any reason, he was the guy that ran the show. He would always be in to run the show if I was out. And that went all the way up until when he was called home. The last time Bill was on the show, Bill passed away in February of 2013. The last time he was on the show was in October of 2012. Well, no, actually what it was he wasn't even scheduled to be on the show that night. This was right before Bill's health took a turn for the worse. This was in the fall of 2012. He passed away in February of 2013. But in the fall of 12, I called Bill from the hospital. I don't know if you remember this, Eddie. I had an emergency appendectomy.
Yes, you did. I remember that. You certainly did.
And I had to go in there and just completely unscheduled, obviously. Is your mic on? Okay, there it is. Yeah, your mic was off. But that's fine because you didn't say much. But anyway, Eddie remembers the appendectomy.
I certainly
do. I went in there, and it was on a Friday night, and they took my appendix out, and I was in the hospital. I called Bill from my hospital bed one Saturday morning in October of 12, and I said, Bill, you're not going to believe this, but I'm in the hospital, and they had to take my appendix out last night, and I'm not going to be able to make it into the show tonight. Can you cover for me? And he dropped what he was doing. He wasn't scheduled to be on the show that night. He went in. And he covered for me, and he had a great show, and that was the last time he was ever on the air. He took a drastic turn for the worse after that, and he was gone 5 months later. And that was the kind of man he was. And I think a year or two ago when we do this every year, because we remember our heroes, we remember our comrades, we remember the people that we've shared a trench with. And so that's why we remember Bill on the anniversary of his passing every year. On this show, if we don't remember our brothers, then we don't even need to be on the air. All of these issues, yeah, they're important, but they're not as important as our family. And, you know, nobody knew it at the time. I mean, who could have thought that was the last time Bill, you would ever hear Bill on the political cesspool. But it was the show that I had my appendix taken out. He covered for me. And then right after that, that was it.
You know, James, I remember you, me, and Keith went to the hospital to see him.
About a week before he passed.
Yeah, and he was really, well, he was really going downhill. I remember asking him as an ORN, I would ask him, I'd say, you know, if you're hurting, squeeze my hand. You know, if you can't squeeze, blink, et cetera. And, you know, I'm not tooting my horn, but it just came over me. I had to pray.
I remember that. We were in the room with his wife and his mother.
I was probably
at that time, and he was unresponsive. And it was right before
so
the
emotional.
End.
I mean, it was so incredibly emotional there, y'all. If you can see how the political cesspool family is together, you would never.
Well, this
ever
is what the political cesspool is about. I mean, we're about
love,
family,
man.
And our people and love for our brothers and love for our fellow man, love for our audience. But this is real time right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking you behind the scenes. Yeah, we're pulling the curtain back. This is it. This is what we're all about.
Yep, you know, I was probably the last person to pray for him until he did pass. I know we went to a funeral. Bill was a dedicated. He never missed church that I know of. He was a Lutheran. As a matter of fact, that was the first time I'd ever been to a Lutheran service. But Bill, he never – let me tell you what. Bill was a Lutheran, but Bill was a Confederate Lutheran, and his pastor knew that. And I don't know if we've told this story or not. Bill purchased, knowing that he was short to live, had a short time left. He purchased a really great Confederate battle flag to have it draped over his coffin when he died. You know,
that's absolutely right. That's how he wanted to be remembered, and that's how he wanted to be sent out. And I will tell you this.
He's last of the Ole Miss fan. And you know what? He was the last of the true Ole Miss Rebels. You don't see an Ole Miss Rebel down there, Harley. You're all a bunch of – I mean,
and Bill was an Ole Miss alum, as is Keith. But I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I don't guess it needs to be said, but I want to put this in here. The loss of Bill Rowland still deeply hurts. It's 4 years later. But I'll tell you this about Bill. He would have savored – this is just kind of a rundown of things that have happened since he passed, Ed, if you can believe it. Think of some of the things that have happened since he's gone. None of them would have happened, by the way, had it not been for his imprints on this show. But he would have savored every second of that 10-year anniversary celebration we had in 2014.
Yeah.
He would have considered the day that we were denounced by the United States Congress to be our most significant triumph. He would have been in awe at our rally of Nathan Bedford Forrest, the second one,
yes,
where we had 500 people show up. Two
Man,
years ago.
I get chills thinking about that.
Even when Homeland Security was trying to stymie us. But I'll tell you this, nothing would have pleased Bill more than the unprecedented year we had in 2016, credentialed to the Republican National Convention. How did that happen? The interview with Donald Trump Jr. being attacked by Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton said if Trump wins, we would be controlling the White House. Named one of the top 25 right-wing outlets.
One of the few times she was right.
Named one of the top 25 right-wing media outlets responsible for Trump. That lawsuit we have filed and was still working its way through the courts against the Detroit News. The Trump radio ad that Sam Bushman and I wrote and produced and that aired in battleground states across the country. TV appearances and a speech in Michigan 2 weeks before the election. The fact that we have forced the New York Times and other outlets to retract things they've written about us. Named by Yahoo News as one of the top five leaders of the alternative right in the media every week, sometimes intensely, sometimes multiple national news in a week. Hey, none of it would have happened. You can say none of it would happen without James Edwards, but none of it would have happened without Bill Rowland. And without question, Bill would have been so proud of all this show has accomplished in his absence. But I will tell you this, from beyond this earthly realm, Bill is still part of our soul, of the fabric of this show. He shares in everything we have done since his passing. His lasting impact on this radio program will be continued to be felt until we are no more. So in honor of Bill Rowland, we dedicate this hour of the political cesspool on the day that he went to meet his Savior. We love you.
Yes, we do. I tell you what, and you know, James, we still have Bill with us. You know, you don't just because you graduate college, for instance, or high school, or grammar school, or whatever, just because you don't play football for your high school anymore. If you have a favorite coach, if you have a coach or a teacher who really inspired you and took you under their wing. And guided you along when you were, you know, in your formative years. That's the kind of guy Bill was. And once again, I'm just going to say, we're not trying to blow a lot of smoke here, people. We want you to know, first and foremost, that we do love each other in Political Cesspool and Liberty News.
And we love you, too.
Yes, we do. That's the kind of people we are. And I think Bill would vouch for, if Bill was here, He would say that we give credit to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we do everything. You may not be able to tell it on the radio all the time, especially sometimes when I get fired up.
Like last week, but we're not going to bring that up.
We're not going to bring that up. You know, that's very, very occurrence, but and hopefully it doesn't happen any time too soon. But anyway, Bill was one of those people that brought James along or in the beginning before I came on board.
No man stands alone. No man's an island. There isn't anyone that's ever accomplished anything in this life that didn't do it without the help or assistance or wisdom or guidance
parents,
or counsel of someone else, whether it's your parents, whether it's your grandparents, whether it's your uncles. Friends. No one was born and evolved into a great man without the help of someone. And there have been many people in my life, in your life, in everyone's life that have done that. I could name 100 of them. But Bill was one of them.
And he was an important anyone. One of them. You know what? You can learn from a child. You can learn from your adults.
Bill. Oh, sure. I mean, my children have an impact on me every day in a way that no one else has. But I tell you what, this is the most enjoyable, in a way, it's sad, it's bittersweet. One of the most meaningful hours that we've done in a long time.
We've learned a lot from Hibbs the Root.
We'll be back with one final segment for tonight's broadcast right after this.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, you can tell me if I'm wrong. And again, we don't do this because we're expected to do it, because it's part of our shtick. This is who we are. I mean, we are real and we are raw with our audience. And I hope that's one of the things that has endeared us to our listeners. But we don't do it in hopes that it will. We do it because this is who we are, and we come on here and we just let it all hang out, and there's no curtain between us and the audience. We are as real on the radio as we are in real life. And 4 years ago this week, 4 years ago tonight, Bill died. Of course, that wasn't on a Saturday night. It was earlier. It was midweek, and then the following Saturday, the first time we were on the air since he passed, we did a 3-hour tribute to Bill. That is still one of our most incredible shows. You can go back to the last Saturday of February of 2013 in our broadcast archives, and you can listen to that show if you're a new listener. And we had family members, we had his personal friends, everybody on the staff and crew of the cesspool called in. And it was just, it was an emotional show. Scoop Stanton, you've already heard his contribution tonight. He called in during the first hour to talk about CPAC, but he wrote something in honor of Bill that he asked me to read to you, and so we're going to read it now. This comes from Scoop Stanton, who, of course, was a friend of Bill's as well as a member of this team. It was 4 years ago today. Scoop writes that we lost Bill Rowland. Bill was the rock that made the political cesspool what it is today. Despite his illness, Bill would not let it get the best of him, nor did he want sympathy. Some of us didn't even know Bill was sick. His memorial show was the saddest broadcast we've ever done. It would be a lie if we said our eyes weren't welling up with tears. In his infinite wisdom, Sam Bushman eased our pain with 4 words. Bill is with Christ. Right now, Bill is smiling down on us and all that we've accomplished. We interviewed people like Donald Trump Jr., Ann Coulter, and Anthony Cumia, just to name a few. We brought super talent on board with the likes of Sean Bergen and Jim Lancia. We attended CPAC, a presidential campaign rally, and the Republican National Convention as credentialed members of the media. Bill is especially happy because we put all of our chips on Donald Trump since day one. And boy, did it pay off. Nationalism, manufacturing, border security, school choice are all things we haven't heard in years. If you love this show and you love where it's gone, you can thank Bill Rowland. That's Scoop Stanton.
You know what? I'd like to say something. I listened to Scoop tonight, and I told my wife, I think this is the best show, the best segment I've ever heard Scoop do. And with that, what he wrote right there, I don't see how anyone could have done any better. I salute you, Scoop. I hope you're listening.
Well, I want to say one more thing. That was well done. Yes, absolutely. I want to say one more thing, and this is nothing. I mean, this is filthy rags, and it absolutely pales in comparison to the significance of the anniversary of Bill Rowland's
death.
Another
biblical reference there, son.
That's right. But this is another anniversary that you may not know. Are you ready for this? 1 year ago today.
Yes, sir.
We were at the Donald Trump rally in Memphis, Tennessee. Can you believe that? I mean, how about
Man.
That? The good Lord's timing. 1 year ago. Lord have mercy, did we ever know what getting press credentials from the Trump campaign to attend that rally and broadcast a live show at the political cesspool would have done? I say it was a year ago. It was 4 years ago to the day, February 25th, that Bill passed away. Technically, it was February 27th of 2016 that we were at that Trump rally, but that's close enough for us. That's 2 days away. We were there. I attended that rally. Sam Bushman held down the fort in the studio. He was producing the show and basically serving as anchor that night while I reported live from the press pen of the Donald Trump rally. And it was from that, Eddie, that this show would never be the same. That night was one of the most... Yeah, I was the only racist that actually let a black woman in the press pen. Everybody else was shooing her off. I said, no, she's got credentials. I went and talked to the Secret Service and helped her get in. I mean, that's just a matter of fact because that's what a nice guy does. But my goodness, did I ever know? You could have never. Matt the Copperhead was there. Keith was there. That was a heck of a night. Not just to broadcast live from the press pen, but to be at a Trump rally, to be, you know, I thought I'd never be 30 feet away from Donald Trump again until I was 30 feet away from him when he was inaugurated as president of the United States, which happened a month ago. My, where this show has gone in the last year. And so much of that started a year ago. 367 days ago, to be accurate. Two days from now, it'll be a year. We were at that Trump rally in Memphis, and this show will never be the same. That's what catapulted us into national superstardom, international superstardom. I mean, we were already well-known, certainly, in our circles. But we were in the press every day for the rest of the year because of that rally. And, of course, it only – the temperature only got hotter and hotter as it got closer to election day. And that was it. We were made, and it all started a year ago this week at that Trump rally in Memphis. You were there. I was there. Keith was there. The Copperhead was there. Sam was holding down the fort. Go back and listen to that show, folks, the last show of February of 2016. That's where one hell of a ride started for us.
You know what?
And we weathered it with determination and defiance like you would never know.
That had to be one of the most heady experiences I ever lived through. Of all the heady experiences we had that night, you know, Matt the Copperhead and myself, we had a few interviews. I think we probably did almost as many interviews outside the press box as James.
I told Eddie and Matt, I said, keep a low profile. I'm the one with credentials.
We tried.
And no, y'all didn't try at all.
We tried hard.
No. Matt, the Copperhead ended up tearing up a sign from an Antifa and getting into.
I said, don't tear that sign up, Copperhead.
I look over. I said, Eddie, whatever you do, don't talk to the press. And I look over, and we were talking about Richard Spencer holding court at CPAC. There was like a gaggle of press around Eddie. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, what is he saying? Because you never know with Eddie, you know, when he's the bombardier. But you must have behaved because I didn't hear anything bad about it. But that was incredible. You know, there was actually at one time during a commercial break at the high, right after the Trump was he flew in on his jet.
Oh, I guess he did.
I'm going to get to you. He landed on the tarmac. He came out of the jet. He spoke. He got back in the jet, and he flew off. And I remember we went on the air a few minutes after Trump began his speech. So for the first hour, we were on the air live while he was speaking. Then we had about an hour there where we were still on scene, but things were happening. Then in the last hour, me and you and Matt, we were actually on the air in the car. We had to shift gears.
We sure
were. Get on a cell phone, get in the car. We went and ate chicken and catfish at a restaurant. We finished the third hour of that night in a chicken house.
In a rough part of town, I may add. We did. Rough.
But I remember there was a few people in the crowd that recognized me. One of them being a Southern Baptist woman from Nashville who says she agrees with my opinion on the Southern Baptist Church. I took a few pictures during the commercial break, signed, autographed one of her campaign signs for Trump. That was just an amazing night. And what did Sam say?
He said he was the only one that didn't get to eat. Yeah.
Well, we owe him one. And you did get him free ice cream later on.
Yeah, that's right. He got free ice cream.
But anyway, hey, listen, everything that happened last year and too much to recap now, you know it. It all started that night. You were going to
so
say
funny.
Something, Eddie.
That's so, I was going to say,
a year ago tonight,
I'm going to tell you what. I don't know about you, James. I don't know about the Copperhead. I don't know about Keith. But we sat there waiting on the Donald to come. And I'm going to tell you what. As long as I live, I'll never forget that huge plane. I don't know what kind of jet it is, but it's a monster. And he came in, and we're thinking, we'd seen several other jets come because it's, you know, it used to be a Navy base there, a Navy Aerodale where they, you know, had fighter planes and what have you. And we saw this huge plane that came in. He circled and circled. And we said, that's got to be the Donald. That was the most intoxicating moment I probably had on this show.
You should have been at the inauguration.
Oh, the show. That plane came in there. I mean, you knew then he was the real deal. I mean, it was the second best thing to see an Elijah return. I mean, I mean, he was coming in. And you knew. I mean, the crowd was just absolutely electrified.
Oh, my. We talked about. Listen, there's no way we can paint a verbal picture of what that was.
No.
But we did it on the air 3 years ago. 3 years ago. 1 year ago this week. Go back to the last show. And it's all of this is the broadcast archives. 4 years ago tonight, listen to the last Bill Rowland show. A year ago this week, last show of February of 16. Listen to us as we describe what that night was like. Because let me tell you something. We did it a lot better while we were there than we could possibly remember tonight. I remember running into Katie Turr, you know Katie from MSNBC. I mean, there was just so much that happened that night. That picture of me standing with my Trump media badge was probably in just about every newspaper in the country. It was just an incredible thing. Hey, but listen, folks, I want to tell you something about the Freedom Coalition. Sam's going to give me the website, and I'll recite it to you. TheFreedomCoalition.com. You need to get on board in this endeavor. Go read about what this group is trying to do and take a look at some of the names who have signed up for that. I think that will really impress you. But basically what it's about is it is using Washington insiders, political heavyweights, media heavyweights, all pulled together by Sheriff Richard Mack, one of our good friends, and Sam Bushman, to, I guess, to break it down in a nutshell, to free innocent people who are in prison.
Wow, man.
And it is amazing. This was just a brainchild of Sam and Sheriff Mack a couple of weeks ago. And I said, yeah, you know, Sam, that's a good idea. Let's see what happens. They've gotten some household names involved in this that you will – it'll mesmerize you. That's the power of Liberty News Radio and Sam Bushman.
And also, one last word. People, do not forget to go to Numbers USA and see the gumball demonstrations.
There you go.
If you don't do anything else.
God bless you, Bill. We'll see you soon in heaven, but hopefully not too soon. We still got a little work on this earth before then. God bless you, everybody.
God bless.
We'll see you next week on the Political Cesspool.